Been talking, going on through a series on ordinary, just ordinary people. Just ordinary people. Like you and me. Who've had an encounter with Jesus and it radically altered their lives. We're going to talk about an ordinary person today. Some might say, less than ordinary. But she had an extraordinary faith. Not a blind faith, but an informed faith. In a little crumb, a scrap from the master's table. Lord, I just pray that you'll open our hearts this morning. This story is one that impacts every one of us in one way or another. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts to what it is that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell a story this morning, and I'm going to take it from two Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to combine the things because there's a few little details that contribute to the whole story. So I'm going to tell this story, but we really have to get into the context and the setting of it. We got a Canaanite woman. This term Canaanite goes back 4,000 years before this story. 4,000 years where this Canaanite term came into existence. Canaan, who is the grandson of Noah, was cursed because of an indiscretion, inappropriate act done toward his grandfather Noah. You can read the story in Genesis 9, 20 through 25. You won't understand all the details, but it warrants some investigation if you want to find more details. I'll connect a few dots in my story this morning. Canaan was cursed because of something that was of such a nature that it warranted Noah to place a curse on him, on Canaan and his descendants. They would be the lowest of slaves to his brothers the rest of the generations of their existence. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 15 to 19, it tells about Canaan's descendants, the Canaanites. They would disperse and go throughout the place of Tyre and Sidon, which the story takes place this morning in Sidon, in the area of Sidon. His descendants would settle from Sidon as far as Sodom and Gomorrah. Connect some dots here. These are the descendants of Canaan. They're settling in Tyre and Sidon all the way down to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't know that, you need to read up on that one because that's a whole nother story in itself. The Canaanites were wicked people. They didn't honor God. And as a result of the Israelites coming into the promised land some 2,000 years later, God instructed them to do away with all the Canaanites. It sounds kind of harsh, but they were under God's judgment. They refused to listen to God and to follow God. They exchanged God for idols. And in order for Israel to stay true to their God, they would have to get rid of the distractions around them. And as part of God's judgment, God is a just God. He's a compassionate God, as we'll see here also. It's not like he doesn't give people a chance. The Canaanites had refused to follow God. And for 2,000 years plus, the Canaanites were enemies of Israel. A thorn in their side. Because they didn't totally destroy them and get them out of the land. Eventually, the Canaanites were overcome. Only a few remnants remained in the land. And that brings us to this story where Jesus goes to this area in Sidon. Jesus is moving away from the tension that is building with the religious leaders. The Pharisees are getting a little bent out of shape. This Jesus is getting onto their territory, and he's accusing them of hypocrisy, and it's stirring up this anger inside of them, and they're looking for ways to kill Jesus. And Jesus needs to get out of the way, get out of there, let things settle down, because his ministry's not done. So Jesus takes this exit, this trip up into north of Galilee in Sidon to get away a bit with his disciples. He didn't want anybody to know what house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, this Canaanite woman comes pleading to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is possessed with this demon that torments her severely." And he pleaded with her to cast out that demon. Jesus didn't say anything. Not even a word. His disciples urged him to send her away. "Why don't you just tell her to go? Her begging is getting obnoxious." And Jesus replied to the woman, since she was a Gentile, he said, "I have only come to minister to God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. I must first feed my own family, my children, the Jews." But she came again and said, "Have mercy on me. Oh Lord, have mercy on me." She fell down at his feet and pleaded with him, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus says this remarkable saying or phrase, says, "It's not appropriate for me to take food from my children and throw it to the dogs." She she replied, this Canaanite woman replied, "That's right, Lord. That's right. But the little dogs, they can eat the scraps that fall off the master's table, right?" And Jesus said, Oh, woman. You have great faith. You have great faith. That's a great answer. Your request has been granted. Go on your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she made her way to the home, and she found her little girl lying in bed quietly. Lying in bed quietly. And the demon was gone. What an amazing story. An ordinary person with extraordinary faith and a little crumb. This Canaanite woman, she was out of place. Two things in this culture. She was a Canaanite, which was the scum of the earth to the Israelites. They were descendants of evil, evil people who refused to respond to God. She's not only a Canaanite, she's also a woman. And in this culture, women did not have status. She is out of place. She doesn't belong here. Jesus wanted to be in private with his disciples, get a little R&R. But no, here she is. She shows up on the scene, barges into the scene, and says, "Help me, Lord, have mercy on me. Son of David. Oh, Lord, Son of David." This woman had more insight than the Pharisees in Jerusalem. She knew who Jesus was and accepted him as the Messiah. She knew that this was the Savior that was coming to save her. "Lord, help me." She fell at his feet and worships. Even though she's not getting the answer she wants, she falls down at his feet and worships. This bowing down actually is a term of a dog licking the hand of his master. That's what she's doing. She's bowing down, licking the hand of her master. She didn't hear no. She heard silence. So she continued to persist to find the answer. If Jesus wasn't going to say no, she's going to keep asking. Talk about perseverance. Chutzpah. Help me out. Is that Low German? Chutzpah. Is there a word in... It sounds so much like something my mom would have said. It's Yiddish. It's a Jewish mix of German before the war in Germany in the 40s. There's this Yiddish language that develops, and this is one of the terms is chutzpah. Chutzpah. Persistently asking. Stubbornly, tenaciously, boldly, asking. Chutzpah. Sounds like slope mats. It's the opposite of slope mats, okay? I don't know what is the opposite of slope mats? What would it be? Come on, give me a... It's got to be chutzpah. It is. It's got to be. I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know enough Low German, okay? I just echoes in my brain. This is something my mom would have said. Chutzpah. Slope mats. I heard that a lot. She persistently asked for help. Speaking of dogs, which I'm not, we'll get to that later here, but I wake up pretty early on Sunday mornings to get things ready and working on my sermon and so on. And my dog, Nacho, is the most obnoxious dog in the morning, especially early in the morning. He has to be fed, and he has to be fed now. And he prances back and forth on the hardwood floor. You can hear it. And it's just like, dog, would you please stop? I mean, I tell him to just stop. And he just looks at me, wagging his tail. And then he runs on, he runs back, and he lays down. Then he gets up, then he runs, and I'm trying to study, and this dog is just wearing me out. He's just wearing me out. Until I finally say, okay, crazy dog, I'm going to feed you. And I go through the whole routine of feeding him and throw it in his treat, and he has to go find it. Crazy dog. So persistent. I'm going to change his name from Nacho to Chutzpah. This Canaanite woman asked for mercy. She asked for mercy. Now, if she would have asked for justice, if any of us would ask for justice, we wouldn't be here. We need mercy. And this woman knows that she needs mercy. She doesn't need justice. She needs mercy. And she pleads to the Messiah, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. She knows that if God has mercy on her, it's going to affect her daughter as well. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. She asked for mercy. She asked for mercy. She knew that by faith, she must have understood the scriptures, that by faith she could get mercy from God. She must have known the stories. She must have heard the stories of people finding mercy at the hand of God because of their faith, like Abraham. She knew that this Savior would be for all people. She had heard that in the Old Testament, the Psalms. She must have heard those and known and recognized that this was a Savior for the whole world. And she puts her faith in Him. He would be the one to take away the curse that has been over her family for thousands of years. She had hope in this Messiah. He would bring healing. He would bring salvation. And she knew that possibly if she went to Him, she might even find a little element, a scrap, a crumb of grace. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? If I could just get a crumb of grace, a scrap that falls off this table. But she's met what she met with. Dead silence.
Not a single word from Jesus. Chutzpah. She doesn't give up. That's not a no. Silence is not a no. That's just motivation for a chutzpah to dig in their heels and keep asking. We know that God wasn't, or Jesus wasn't being rude. Some people say, this is, man, I was a really rude jester of you, Jesus. No, Jesus was, I believe Jesus was testing her faith. Is she going to be persistent enough to continue to ask me? Is she going to persist until she gets an answer from me? If she doesn't, she doesn't really want what I have to give, because what I have to give is the everlasting bread of life. And if she's looking for crumbs from something else, she's not going to get it. But she persists. She knows what she's after. The bread of life. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the disciples. Okay, what's the disciples? We're all like the disciples. When there's an awkward silence, somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to say something to get rid of this awkward silence. Send her away. Send her away. Maybe they're even saying, Jesus, just heal her and get it over with. Just cast out that demon and go get it over with. But I think they were just nervous. And they said, just, this is getting obnoxious. She's pestering us. And we were here. We had an awesome privilege that we didn't want to give up. And this lady is getting in our space. A woman of all things, getting in our space where we can't sit down at the table and enjoy this meal with Jesus. Send her away. Send her away. This awkward moment causes them to look back on their privilege and realize that this is getting uncomfortable. We don't want to be disturbed by this needy woman. Send her away. Send her away. They were enjoying that feast with Jesus at the table. Yet they responded much in the same way that Jesus told this parable of an unjust judge, an unrighteous judge, not like Richard, an unjust judge. Who could care less about God, care less about righteousness. He just was a judge that was probably appointed, and somebody had to do it, and this guy was doing his job, didn't really care about true justice. There was a widow that kept coming to him for justice, kept pleading to this unjust judge, I need a ruling in my case. I need justice. I need justice. And she would come day after day after day after day after day, insisting on this judge to render a verdict of justice. And because of this widow's persistence, the unjust judge finally said, good riddance. I'll render this judgment for this lady just to get her off my back. And Jesus says, don't you think a good father would do much more than this unjust judge that could care less about what's going on with this woman? Jesus, God is so much more concerned about your well-being than this unjust God. Don't you think he's going to render a better judgment than this unjust judge? Of course. Jesus says, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Well, this Canaanite woman displayed faith. And we go to Jesus' response. Let's look at Jesus' response. First of all, we know that he was just silent. No words, just silence. He wasn't being rude. He was literally testing her faith. Then he responds with priorities. First things first. First things first. I have been commissioned to go to the Israelites, to the people of Israel, the God's chosen people, and to feed them first. That's my priority. It wouldn't be right to feed the dogs before the children. Now, Jesus is not calling this woman a dog. You cannot find that in this scripture, but people will rush to that judgment that God was that Jesus was prejudiced and he's just insulted this woman calling her a dog. No, in this culture, she was considered on the level of a dog. In these terms that he uses, the term for dog is not a vicious, wild, running loose dog. This is a house pet, a little dog, a yipper, a whelper. The literal term is whelper. Kind of like Nacho used to be. Kind of is. Yip. You know, like chihuahuas, like a chihuahua, okay? I'm sorry, if you guys got a chihuahua, ours is part chihuahua, isn't it? That's where he gets his yippy and his nagging. Jesus is using a kind of a term of endearment about this dog, these little pets. He's not going to throw the children's food to the pets, but she jumps on that one and says, yeah, but that pet is going to eat the scraps off the master's table, isn't he? You better believe it. I'm always sneaking stuff to the dog. I've been lately. It's been kind of sick. But, you know, I love to give that dog stuff. The reason I know that he's not being offensive and rude to her is because she takes no offense whatsoever. She accepts her position. She fully accepts that she is not on the level of these chosen people of Israel. But all she wants is a crumb. She knows that these Israelites are rejecting his message. Why in the world was he coming clear up here to get out of the way? Jesus, I know that, but I'm here to pick up the scraps. Just give me a scrap. I need your mercy, Jesus. My daughter is being tormented savagely by this demon. Please have mercy on me. Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a purpose. It was to come unto his own and to show the light to the Israelites. And the plan was that the Israelites would be the light into the world. But they rejected him. He came unto his own and his own received him not. So therefore, whoever believes on Jesus will be saved. You should be happy with that one. You should be thoroughly excited with that verse because that opened the door for us Gentiles and this Canaanite woman to come to the table. Not just to pick up the scraps, but to come to the table with Jesus. You have an invitation to the table with Jesus. That is amazing. That is simply amazing. Too often, when we don't get an answer that we want, we take the silence as either God's not listening or he doesn't care. He's not going to help me anyway. So I'll just quit praying. It's no good anyway. Chutzpah. How do you pray? How you pray shows a lot about what you believe about God. It really does. How this woman prayed and how this woman worshiped shows us a lot about her faith in Jesus. Do you have that same faith that this Canaanite woman had, coming to the table of Jesus, bowing at his feet just to get a crumb of his mercy and his grace? She knew her position. She didn't deserve to be there by any means. It's only because of his mercy and his grace that she could even enter into this house and have this conversation. You're right, Lord. I don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be here. But even the little puppies, even Nacho can come and scrounge underneath the table, picking up the scraps that we drop. The older I get, the more I drop. She gets it. This Canaanite woman gets it. She gets it. She's careful to point out that she's not trying to take the bread from the children. Do you feed the children first, Lord? Just let me get a scrap. Just let me take this crumb that falls. She got it. Just a crumb of mercy and grace from the master's table would provide more than she ever needed. There would be a time that the Gentiles would receive the good news. Paul would be commissioned to go to the Jews. But man, he knew the priority. He said, man, if my fellow Jews could be saved, I'd die for them. I would die that they would come to Jesus Christ. But he realized that they were rejecting him, and his mission was to go to the Gentiles and go to the Gentiles. Did he? Man, and I'm glad he did. You and I are here because of that. In time, though, the Gentiles would have full access to the kingdom, but now she was just in need of Jesus' healing grace for her daughter. Remember, we got a daughter here that's demon-possessed, okay? And she's getting thrashed over and over. Can you imagine this child never having a night's sleep, a peaceful night's sleep, tormented daily, savagely tormented? This child was never at peace. Just a crumb of God's grace could take care of this. She knew that. She knew that. Keep doing your program, Jesus. Keep doing it. I don't want to interrupt your program. Just give me a crumb. Just give me a crumb. Give me a crumb. She knew that this was the only food that could give her hope. This is the only food. This is the only bread of life that there was. She knew that. She knew that. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again." I don't know if she heard Jesus say that or somebody passed that message on to her, but she knew it. And she knew if she got a crumb of Jesus, just a crumb from his table, she would be fine. The attitude of superiority of the Jews as the chosen people of God brought a lot of animosity toward many. But this woman was okay with being considered on the level of a dog. At least I can get a scrap. I'm considered a little dog, but hey, I'm a pet. I can get into this house and I get under the table. You know what? I'm going to get what I need from Jesus. Because I know Jesus cares about me. Ironically, many Jews would lose out on the blessing of salvation because they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And many Gentiles would receive the blessing of salvation because by faith they accepted Jesus as the Messiah. God gives grace. Jesus gives grace to this woman. God's grace gives her a place at the table, not underneath the table. This is a place at the table, right? Yeah, right now I got a program. I got to go to the Israelites. I got to take care of my business. But eventually it's going to be everybody at the table who comes by faith. Jesus gives grace. What's your response? What's our response? Where are we? We're in one of these places. Maybe you feel like you're the Canaanite woman who's just out of place, worth nothing. You know, you've been trashed as a child maybe, and you're maybe somebody abused you, and you feel like you're out of place and worthless, just an outside dog. You feel like you're nothing. Maybe you're at the point of worshiping God and just falling down at his feet and saying, I need your mercy, Jesus. Hopefully, you have a prayer life that's chutzpah. You dig in your heels until God tells you no. And when God tells you no, you turn your direction to maybe something else that God is wanting you to do, and you continue to pray, and you persist until you find the will of God in your situation. Or are you one that just gives up? Said, he doesn't care. I'm out of place. I don't belong here. And Jesus doesn't care. Maybe you're one of the disciples who are kind of in this awkward silence. They don't really know how to respond. They're just doing what comes to the tip of their tongue and respond. Just get rid of her. Tell her go. They were in a privileged position. You here are all in a privileged position. God has placed you in a privileged position. How are you using that privilege for the kingdom of God? These disciples didn't want anybody else crowding out their attention with Jesus. I said, get rid of her. Get her out of here. I want to talk to Jesus. Is that you? Jesus responds. Of course, we all want to respond how Jesus does, right? You're here. We want to know Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We want to do what Jesus would do. Jesus' silence doesn't mean that he's not listening to us. And our silence when we come into the person of somebody that's in need is very valuable. They need to be heard. God wants to use us to hear the story of that person who is struggling. Maybe Jesus' silence is something we need to learn from. and to realize that he's not ignoring us. Don't get any idea because Jesus has not responded to your answer to prayer that he's ignoring you. It may be simply, just wait, you're not ready for the answer I'm going to give. It may simply be that. God has priorities in the kingdom. Are we willing to submit to those priorities? And are we willing to accept his grace? He wants to give grace to this Canaanite woman. She's out of place. She doesn't deserve grace, but that's what she gets. Jesus gives her grace. I mean, it does not matter what her background was. I mean, she had a horrific background. When you look at her ancestors, believe me, if you do any in-depth study on that story, you'll walk away sick, okay? Her ancestors did not deserve grace. They didn't deserve mercy. Sodom and Gomorrah got judgment. She's crying out for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. And God gives her grace. Go to that next slide. Dear woman, Mark says, it's a good answer. It's a good answer. Great answer. It's a great answer that you said that the little puppies can get food from the scraps, can't they? Dear woman, great answer. Your faith is great. Your request has been answered, and immediately her daughter was healed. Now she's back home, cross town, wherever it is, in another town. I don't know where it's at, but she was immediately healed at that point that Jesus said that. And when she went home, she was not greeted by a thrashing, evil, kicking and wailing she normally got every day she entered that house. She saw her daughter. Did you see that? She saw her daughter lying in bed. This might be in the Mark account, but it's in one of the accounts. It says, she saw her daughter lying in bed quietly. And the demon was gone. This is an extraordinary example of faith from a woman who did not deserve. She deserved judgment, just like you and me. Yet, God showed her grace. Where are you at in that list? Are you coming to Jesus, worshiping at his feet, willing to accept a piece of his mercy and his grace for your life? I pray that you will go to the Lord with chutzpah, persistence, if you need to know an answer to a situation in your life. God wants to give grace. He wants to give us everything we need. I encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer. He's a good, 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 good Father. He only gives us the good. He doesn't give us evil things. He's not going to give us a snake if we ask for a loaf of bread.